We continue our Ascension Week readings with something from John Gill, a Baptist preacher in England in the mid-1700s, on Christ's heavenly session. This falls upon the resurrection and ascension of Christ to heaven. It is in this order things stand, according to the Scriptures. Christ was first raised from the dead, then he went to heaven and was received up into it, and then sat down at the right hand of God. It is not to be understood with respect to his divine nature, abstractly considered, or as a divine person, for as such he is Jehovah's fellow, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Philippians 2:6. Nor is it with respect to his human nature merely and of any communication of the divine perfections to it, for though the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in him, yet this is not communicated to or transfused into his human nature as to make it omnipotent or omniscient or omnipresent or equal to God or give it a right to sit on his right hand. This is to be understood of him as mediator with respect to both natures. In that office capacity, Christ is inferior to his Father, and his Father is greater than he, according to John 14:28, because Christ's power in heaven and in earth was given to him by his Father. Christ was made subject to his Father, who put all things under him by placing him at his right hand. There, Christ is next to his Father in his office as mediator. It is expressive of his government and dominion over all, for this phrase of sitting at the right hand of God is explained by reigning or ruling. It follows in the original text as explanative of it. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies, Psalm 110, verse 2, and so the apostle interprets it in 1 Corinthians 15:25. Now, this government and dominion is not to be understood of what is natural to Christ and common with him to the other two divine persons. The kingdom and nature and provenance equally belongs to him as the divine Father, of whom he says, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work, in John 5:17. He works jointly with him, having the same power, operation, and influence in all things he has, but this means his mediatorial kingdom and government, which dominion, glory, and kingdom were given to him and received from the Ancient of Days. This is a delegated kingdom, for the administration of which he is accountable to his Father. He will deliver it up to him when completed. In respect of this, he may be said to sit at the right hand of God, and to be next unto him in power and authority, yet superior to all created beings of the highest form and of the greatest name, which are all subject to him. Sitting at God's right hand supposes ease and rest from labor. For Christ, upon his resurrection and ascension to heaven, came into the presence of God, in whose presence is fullness of joy, and at whose right hand are pleasures for evermore. When he was made glad with the light of his countenance, and when having entered his rest, he ceased from his works, as God did from his creation. Not that Christ ceased to act for his people in heaven when he sat down at the right hand of God, for he passed into the heavens for them, for their service and good. He entered as the forerunner for them, and appears in the presence of God for them, and as their high priest, transacts all affairs for them, and ever lives to make intercession for them. But he ceases now from his toilsome and laborious work, for though it was his Father's business, which he voluntarily engaged in, and it was his meat and drink to do, it was very fatiguing, not merely in going about continually to do good to the bodies and souls of men, but in the labor and travail of his soul, when he bore the wrath of God and endured the curse of the law in his sufferings and death. Now, having been freed and eased from all this, he sits down and looks with pleasure on all that he has done. As God, when he had finished the works of creation and took a survey of them and saw that they were all very good and then rested from his works, so Christ, with pleasure, sits and sees the travail of his soul, the blessings of grace through his blood applied to his people, and a continued succession of a seed to serve him, who ere long will all be with him where he is and behold his glory. This is the joy that was set before him when he suffered for them. The perpetual and prevalent intercession of Christ on behalf of his chosen ones is another benefit arising from his session at the right hand of God. There he sits as their high priest, and being made higher than the heavens, ever lives to make intercession for them by representing their persons, presenting their petitions, and pleading their cause. Though Satan sometimes stands at their right hand to resist and accuse them, Christ sits at the right hand of God as their advocate with the Father, to rebuke him, answer to, and remove his charges. In view of this, every saint may say with the Apostle, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" Hence, saints have great encouragement to come with boldness and freedom to the throne of grace. Since we have such a high priest who is passed into heavens for us, is our forerunner for us entered, appears in the presence of God for us, is on the throne of glory, and at the right hand of God to speak a good word for us, this serves to draw our hearts heavenwards, to seek things above where Christ sits at the right hand of God, and to set our affections on things in heaven, not things on earth. This raises the expectation of the saints with respect to Christ's second coming, and gives them assurance of it. Christ sits at the right hand of God, expecting until his enemies be made his footstool, and they look for and expect him from heaven, who has gone thither to prepare a place for them. He has assured them that he will come again, and take them unto himself, that where he is, they may be also, and sit upon the same throne, and be forever with him.